It is 26 and a half minutes after the hour on a Tuesday, November the 2nd, Election Day around much of the country today. And our vote is for Dr. Don Clark, who lives in Garden Valley, Texas. He's a vintner of note. Of note. What does that? It means he's noteworthy. He's noteworthy for what he's accomplished on that. I thought maybe, there was a favorite note you would sing or a, but no. He's also of note because he's a biochemist and a member of the Board of Creation Moments.
It's kind of fun to watch a guy work without notes and a net, doesn't it? Isn't it, Don?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's trying to walk the tightrope and careful. Watch that next step.
Yep. Well, it's a test of my mental agility, that's for sure. As we head into a discussion with Don on I don't know whether to call it global warming or climate change. Which one is in vogue these days? Which is it?
Oh, well, climate change is the current terminology, because it started off being global warming, and then, oh my goodness, it's starting to cool down. So we just have to say climate change.
Yeah, there you go. Just change the language. That's a common approach for liberals to solve problems and reposition themselves. There's a climate change summit going on in Glasgow, Scotland right now, and the president was there yesterday speaking, and news report, I've not seen this, but they say he appears to doze off. Is that proof positive that there's too much CO2 in the atmosphere?
Well, I don't know about that room, but certainly there was a lot of hot air going on. Maybe that contributed to his his dozing off.
And David, now another, you've made note of a number of airplanes. People had to fly. I mean, is John Kerry there too? Probably. I know there are cabinet members and the president's there and other countries. How'd they get there?
By jet aircraft, by private plane, and there was more than 400.
ground crews were working overtime in Glasgow.
Yes, they were.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, it says that there over the last 48 hours, the number of people flew into Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
Glasgow's a lovely little town, by the way. There's a bar in Glasgow that's called the King's Head, and it's the guy who started the bar back in the 1700s.
He would be the old guy in the corner there then.
No, well, he's not around anymore. He's left it to his heirs. But he was one of the guys, one of the young guys chosen to behead Charles the First.
Oh,
and that's why it's called King's Head.
Okay.
And they've got drawings and pictures of the heads, of the King's Head flying off into the sunset.
So it's a political statement then.
Yeah, it's a political statement. Yeah.
Okay.
But that was back in the Cromwell days.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those days, don't you?
It was the 17th century, 1640s, I think, was the revolution.
60, yeah, I'm thinking 1640, 1656, something like that.
Well, there's another political statement being made in Glasgow today, then. I haven't seen much news on it. It's because it has to end first. Not a lot of live coverage.
Well, I've got a feeling that people are not willing to commit to it, are not willing to, put their John Henry on the line.
Mm-hmm. Well, Don, what's your take on this? Is it much ado about nothing, or are we dealing with an existential threat here? I keep losing that word, existential.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the real question is man's activities actually contributing to our own demise as the climate change extremist would have us to believe? And the answer to that question is absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
So, is the globe, is the temperature of the globe increasing? Well, I mean, maybe a little. We've talked about this subject before. And the major contributor to, temperatures going up or temperatures going down is the amount of activity on that the sun has. So, the more sunspots and the more sun flares, more activity on the sun, it will, you know, the globe's going to increase a little bit because you're getting more radiation from the sun, which is, you know, it makes sense that that would happen. And the less activity of the sun, the cooler the Earth is going to become. So, you know, the sun activity is really at about a 50-year cycle. And it seems like things are heating up on the sun, so things are going to be warming up a little bit on the Earth.
There have been a couple of major flares here recently, the last 2 weeks.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Last week we had a major flare, and this weekend it should have created quite a light show up in the northern regions where they can see the aurora borealis. Mm-hmm. It should have been really glowing this past weekend because of the one major flare that took place a little earlier in the week last week or the end of last week. But so the real question is man's activities really contributing to global warming, or are we just seeing another cycle in the whole thing? You know, the folks would point to the intensity of the storms and the frequency of the storms, and if you go back in history, you'll see that, okay, there were periods of time when the intensity of the storms and the frequencies were higher, and then there were the times when it was pretty quiet. So
what you're suggesting is there's nothing new about what we're seeing now. It's happened cyclically for time immemorial here.
Well, it has. So, you know, there's groups that, for example, the Observer Research Foundation, which is an organization that is partnered by Apple and Bill Gates and Uber and Google and Microsoft, and you get all these folks, together. They're saying, well, you know, we're going to have a food problem. It's going to be a catastrophe with regard to food once we start getting global warming, excuse me, and it's going to greatly affect our food supply. Well, is that really what's happening? There's an article here that you brought up, which talks about India, for example, is going to have yet another bumper crop this year. Matter of fact, it's the highest summer crop production in their history, and they have been recording bumper crops now for several years. And they attribute it to, they're getting more monsoon rains, so that's good for crops. But if the CO2 has been going up, guess what CO2 is to plants? It is plant food. So, you're going to have better plant growth with an increase in CO2. And so, India is experiencing this, and there apparently is other places on the globe that are experiencing bumper crops as well.
Yeah, much of Europe. I'm looking at this report from the Observer Research Foundation, which is the group you mentioned that's sponsored by Bill Gates and Apple and others. And they have this article that is written by an Indian gal, Malancha Chakrabarty. And her focus is food in India. And she writes that while large sections of the Indian population suffer from acute undernutrition, rising incomes and growing urbanization are rapidly changing the composition of the food basket away from cereals to high-value agricultural commodities such as fish and meat. As a result, and this is a point to be afraid about, this is a thing to worry about, the total demand for food grains is projected to be higher in the future due to an increase in population. Well, it looks to me like climate change may be our best friend, or at least India's best friend now.
Well, a little bit of global warming apparently is India's best friend because, like I said, they are producing more food now than they were in the past. and contributing, for example, if the oceans warm up a little bit, then you're going to have more rain, right? You're going to get more evaporation from the ocean, which makes sense, and that will then create more precipitation on the Earth. And in this case, you know, the India is experiencing some monsoons, you know, rain. And so they're getting more rain, which means it's good for the food, good for the production of food. They've also are experiencing apparently, you know, a greater growth in the food production. So overall, their main staples, which is rice and lentils, are increasing, and this is the food that primarily is the source, is the food for the 300 million people in poverty in India. And the government either highly subsidizes the food for them or just outright gives it to them. So the government subsidized foods include the rice and the wheat and the lentils and sugar production, all of which are up because in the past several years because of apparently global warming. But, you know, let's not tell this to the climate change folks, because that would be, you know, it would be a benefit instead of a detriment. And so, you know, we have the ability to increase the population rather than decrease the population. And so all of these things are contributing to increased, you know, as a benefit for the Indian people. And like I said, this is not only happening in India; it's also happening, for example, in Russia. They're having increased food production, and Kazakhstan and the European Union, where the meeting is being held, is you know, having an increase in food production. So I'm wondering, you know, this is what I'm wondering. What are they talking about, really? I mean, you know, do they have anything to discuss? They have contributed to the, you know, to the pollution, the air pollution by all of the jets that, you know, were required to take these people, to bring these people to one place. I'm just really wondering what they're talking about, because we aren't seeing the catastrophic effects that certainly AOC, you know, projected that we're, well, it was a couple of years ago, I guess, when she talked about it. So back then she was saying, well, within 12 years, you know, we're going to see massive, massive issues due to climate change.
End of civilization, she was talking about in 12 years.
Yeah. And so that's, if that's not sensationalized, I don't know what is. But we're not seeing that at all. Matter of fact, we're seeing the reverse.
Well, she may have a point here. It seems to me that as the number of liberal people proliferate, that the civilization factor drops. How could that be?
I've got to break in here, because I misread the story. It wasn't 400 planes; it was only 52.
Oh, okay.
But 52 jet aircraft. They're all private planes, but they've got to land and then fly away somewhere else because there's no parking.
No.
There's no place to park. So they're going to have to land somewhere else and then fly back in when the important people are ready.
Okay, well,
to go.
We stand. David stands corrected then.
I stand corrected.
An official Broken Road Radio retraction
that's
there.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in all of this, so, you know, the increase in atmospheric carbon dioxide concentration levels is not having a deleterious effect, but the increase in CO2, as I said, is having quite a beneficial effect on plant growth, and because now we have more optimal temperatures in various parts of the world, that we're getting even much more crop production, as we've stated. So, you know, is CO2 bad for the for the environment. It seems like our Creator God, for example, has built in to our global ecosystem the ability to absorb excess CO2 by causing an increase in plant production. I mean, it's like the little terrarium that maybe you built a little terrarium when you were a kid growing up in biology class or at home as a home project, science project, and lo and behold, you know, the plants grew like crazy in the terrarium, one, because they had a lot of moisture, because the moisture didn't evaporate, you know, to the outside atmosphere. But also the CO2 was higher in those terrariums, and so you got more plant growth. So it was like, this is what's happening, perhaps around the world.
You know, you brought to our attention in the past couple of times we talked about climate change that pictures from space indicate a lot more greening on the Earth right now, including in rainforest areas. And also another one of the most interesting things you brought to our attention was the long-term cycles of warming and increase in CO2. And this indicates that they have confused cause and effect, that it seems that warming precedes an increase in CO2, not the other way around. That's stunning.
Yes. So they're... and what's causing the warming? It's not the CO2 causing the warming. You know, as I said, it's sun activity. And so, you know, you can't, what are you going to do about the sun? You're going to put a big umbrella up there in space to try to block the sun, which would be devastating to world, to food production, obviously, if we were to do that. So, you know, it goes back, you know, you know, it's probably not a good idea to burn all of our forest and to chop down all of the vegetation and clear all of the land. You know, we got to be, as we talked about before, we got to be good stewards of what God has given us. Now, we live in a country where most of the forest have been chopped down and made into farmland. But we're taking that forest area and we're planting, whether it be corn or other crops or wheat or whatever, and we're planting other things. And so the it'd be interesting to see what the net increase or decrease in carbon dioxide effect is through cultured agriculture, if you will. As opposed to natural forest that were there before. So even though temporarily, for example, other countries who are now to the point of needing more agricultural land and more land for their people are cutting down trees and burning trees and burning the branches of the trees and stuff, while that is having an immediate impact on the local environment, and yes, it is increasing the CO2, it will quickly be restored, assuming they will be planting crops. And
we gave the example of a couple of weeks ago about the Australian wildfires, and they had measured how much CO2 had been launched into the atmosphere due to the immense area of wildfire. And then they also noted that there's been an algae bloom off the coast of Australia that has absorbed at least that much CO2 and produced plankton and food for sea creatures. So, it, again, as you just said, the Earth is protecting itself. It has ways of handling this. But my question to you is, who decides whether we're saddled with excess CO2 or just a normal amount? You know, who names that excess?
Well, this climate committee is trying to do that, and it has nothing to do with science. It has nothing to do with man's production and man's effect on the environment. They're not trying to clean up the environment. They're just trying to control more people and put more burden on folks. Because, you know, if you, for example, what we're trying to do in this country is, okay, we're going to eliminate all of the gas-powered engines, all of the fossil fueled engines, you know, that we're running. For even I guess California now has a ban on you know, these small engines. So if you had a weed trimmer, if you had a lawnmower that is gasoline powered, then okay, you can keep that until it breaks. But if you go to buy a new one, it's got to be battery powered. So everything now has got to be battery powered. And so I think we're swapping one problem with another, because all of the batteries, guess what they have? They have toxic metals in them. And so now you've got to have these recycling places. Or, you know, people aren't going to, I mean, conscientious people are going to put them in the recycle bins for the batteries, but they got to still do something, you know, with the batteries and with the toxic minerals that are in the batteries. And so we're trading a innocuous gas, which is CO2, for example, with a toxic mineral now that you know, can poison a bunch of people if it leaches out into the food supply or into the water supply, which, as these things build up, it will. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be just a matter of time before it will. So unless we learn how to recycle the materials in these batteries, and especially the lithium batteries and these, you know, these toxic batteries, we're going to have a major problem down the road. And the more battery powered things that we come up with, you know, the more problem we're going to have.
Well, is there a byproduct problem in the manufacture of these batteries, too? That's got to be a concern. I know that for many years, at least, the solar industry, creating solar panels, created such toxic waste in the manufacturing process that it was a major problem for those companies in that business. They couldn't dispose of it. They had major cleanup problems at their factory sites. That could well happen with the manufacture of batteries, too. Hopefully, somebody's looked into that and solved that problem.
Yeah, the toxicity of these things, not to mention the amount of energy that is used in making these things. Hmm. We use more energy. The studies have shown that it costs more energy to make an electric car, a battery-powered electric car, than the car, the original gas-powered car, would use in the lifetime of that vehicle. Hmm. So this has nothing to do about energy conservation or trying to clean up our environment, but it has everything to do with making large companies you know, wealthier and extracting more funds out of the common folks, so that you know, we can ultimately be controlled by big government and big business. And
well, it does have to do with a large amount of money being transferred from the industrial countries to the non-industrial countries, talking billions of dollars. I don't know whether it's per lawsuit or occasion or how that's supposed to be managed. But countries like the United States, despite the fact that we've done a better job of reducing our so-called carbon footprint than other countries, we're expected to fork over money to small African nations so that they can build their industry. That's just weird. I don't follow the logic in that. Maybe I have it all wrong.
Well, no. I mean, in the country that is doing most of the pollution is China. And yet, China's got a, you know, they don't have to pay anything into the Global Climate Change Fund, you know, for 30 more years. So what's the deal with that? China is the greatest polluter. They're the ones that is, you know, technologically, they're catching up to us and in some areas even surpassing us. And so they don't pay anything, and the United States has to foot the bill. and the European countries have to foot part of the bill as well. That makes no sense. So this whole thing is, as you suggested, it's about redistribution of wealth, and especially redistribution of wealth from America, because we have to become poor and needy like the other countries, the other, you know, third and developing countries around the world.
A great leveler in wealth then. So,
yes.
So equity comes to mind.
Even we can see it happening in our gasoline prices today. You know, America's had cheap gas for a long time compared to Europe. And so now prices are beginning to equalize, if you will, with those prices in Europe, gas prices in Europe. So, I mean, that's only fair, isn't it? I mean, that we should pay as much because, you know, Europe has to import their fuel. We should pay as much as a group of countries that are importing their fuel, even though our oil reserves have been estimated now with the North Dakota and that region have been estimated at least 15 times larger than the oil reserves in Saudi Arabia, for example, and multiples of hundreds of times greater than in other nations in other parts of the world. So, you know, we can't use that to help maintain our own country. We must stop production of our oil reserves.
That's a riddle to me. And you mentioned China. Interestingly, this climate change summit in Glasgow, China has no part in it. In fact, President Xi was not asked to make an address, make any comment on climate change. It's almost as if they're working around China because China, I don't know why, uncooperative, opposed to this. I'm just not hearing why China should not be involved if they're one of the world's largest polluters.
Well, here's one of the reasons, is because China is the largest producer of batteries. The whole thing about Afghanistan, for example, Afghanistan has a lot of lithium and other minerals that are needed to make batteries. So who does Afghanistan make a contract with to extract those minerals? None other than China. And so the world stands by and watches, and they say, okay, well, China can do all the pollution, and they can pollute their country, and they're not going to have any negative effects from this climate committee because they're not participating. And we don't want them to participate because we want these, the battery-powered cars and all of these other things, and so we need them.
Well, it might be too much to ask us to make sense of this thing, because it doesn't make sense, is my conclusion. And if CO2 and increased temperatures are helping food production all around the world, you're going to have trouble persuading me that this is a bad thing. Don Clark, member of the board of Creation Moments, I want to mention their website to you. It's creationmoments.com, and you can link to it from Broken Road Radio if you're listening there this morning. And you'll find quite a library of information that supports and explains the biblical story of creation and how Genesis is history. You find time well spent there at creationmoments.com. Don, we'll let you get back to work. The vines need tending. Surely you got to be cutting or pruning or spraying or doing something.
Getting ready to put them to bed.
You're looking at them. You're settling them down for the winter.
Yeah, grapes apparently hibernate just like people up in East Dakota there. So, excuse me, Don. Thanks very much for sharing information on climate change, and we hope people have taken note, and we'll look forward to talking with you next week on a Tuesday. Okay?
Okay. Sounds great.
See
you later.
Bye-bye.
See you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.